the practices of Vaidhi Sadhana, the next to last chapter on that. And this chapter describes, basically repeats for emphasis, the last five, or the most, not most important five, but the most potent of the different angas or parts of sadhana bhakti. Now these, well, what again, what is the purpose of sadhana, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti? Does anyone know the verse, the Sanskrit verse where Rupa Goswami explains this? I've quoted it many times, but not in the last 2 weeks. You know it? Yes. No. It's yes, because that is the purpose of it, but what is the goal of it? That is the means and the end. Yes, that's Kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhav sa sadhya nitya bhi. Nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakatya riddhi sadhyata. That the kriti, the different activities that are performed, their purpose is to evoke bhava within our heart. Bhava bhakti, we're going to hear about 1, 2, 3 in the 4th chapter from this one. That makes it 15, 16, 17th chapter begins bhava bhakti, explaining what is bhava bhakti, what is prema bhakti, etc. But the purpose of all the sadhana, it is not just to do the work, it is purposeful. It is to attain the stage of bhav, which means love of Krishna. But it is not, this is an absolute process, because the essence, the sar, or the essence of the sadhana is, as Prabhu quoted, smartavyo satatam vishnu vismartavyo nujati chit. The essence of all the vidhi and the shada, the rules and regulations, is to always remember Krishna and never forget him. So it is not that when one achieves the goal of the sadhana, which is bhava, that one takes up, then one does something different. It is not that when one attains the goal that one changes his practices. This is the specific absolute nature of Krishna consciousness. Is that one keeps on, even after one is a bhava bhakta or a prema bhakta or anything, one always remembers Krishna, never forgets him. So the question may be asked, are all these different practices equal in importance? Now the first three were said to be most important. What are the first three? What is the first one? One. Yes, that's the first one in the 9, but the first one in the 64. Yeah. Ado Guru Parashray. The one should take shelter and then Shiksha Dikshanam. Yes, instructions and initiation. So these are the most important three. But the most potent five are said to be these. One can't progress without those three. And these five are very, 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 very potent. And Rupa Goswami says that if one pays a little attention to any of these five, or all of these five, he'll make very, very quick progress. So we're interested in hearing these five. In fact, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj, by the way, Krishnadas Kaviraj in Chaitanya Charitamrita has put so many of the instructions of Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, and the second, who knows what the graduate book of Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu is? Raise your hand if you know. Ujjala Nilamani means the brightest jewel, Nilamani, the bright blue jewel of that's burning so brightly of love for Krishna. So therefore Krishna reciprocates. But when our desire is actually only love of Krishna, Bhava Bhakti is Sudolabha. It is very rare. And here again, this is really mentioning freedom from material reactions, which is aparabdha. Yes? That's basically aparabdha karma. So that occurs. You can't say it hasn't occurred. Why is that? The parabdha Krishna so kindly, it's step by step that we but kuta bija parabdha. Step by step we lose it all. But what does it say? Read what it says. Read it out loud. Yes, but Prabhu, that's not a very, very difficult to understand even. I mean, just, I cannot enter deeply into the meaning here. But in your life, how many sinful deeds can you commit? And how many sinful reactions can you accrue that will, maybe in one life you can accrue 1 billion lives worth, okay? So with one Harinam, that could be removed. But you maybe have been in this world traveling around for 10 zillion, quadrillion, billion years. So even though, that's what it says literally. Yeah.
You also mentioned that one is chanting the poetry. If it says chanting the poetry, you mentioned if it's chanting in Namabhashi, definitely it removes so much.
So much sinful liberation.
If you chant the Shuddha Nam, then definitely all is creation of devotion. But if you're chanting with Aparash, then how can you expect the way we can defend
it? Well, chanting Aparash is like a word restriction.
Anyway, I don't want to argue about it. Enough. This is our old Nepali Kshatriya friend. Getting fired up. Okay, this is the answer. This is the answer. If you don't accept it, there's nothing I can do. I've given you 3 different answers. You think about it deeply. Next is submission. As a matter of course. Hare Krishna. So this mentions 3 different types of prayers. The last one, it's all pretty clear here. They're mentioned in 81, there are 3 different... The first paragraph in the Padma Purana, there is a statement of submission and feeling that is the first prayer, Samprotanatmik. The second one, Avdainya Adik, is the second paragraph on 81 in the same Padma Purana. And then the third one, is the next paragraph on page 82. This lala samayi, the last one, is actually a very exalted state. It is actually on a very high state, on a different level than the other two. The Prabhupada says that one should learn how to cry for the Lord. One should learn this small technique and he should be very eager and actually cry to become engaged in some particular type of service. This is called loyam, and such tears are the price for the highest perfection. If one develops this loyam or excessive eagerness for meeting and serving the Lord in a particular way, that is the price to enter into the kingdom of God. Rupa Goswami has put so much of the philosophy. That's why Prabhupada chose to translate Chaitanya Charitamrita before or as opposed to translating Chaitanya Bhagavat. because there was so much more philosophy in Chaitanya Charitamrita, because Kaviraj Goswami, Krishnas Kaviraj, has put in the philosophy of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he has put in the basic philosophy from the different Sandarbhas, he's put in the teachings, so many different things he's put in. So he has put in this point too about these five. Now, you should all memorize this verse, but I can't tell you that until I first memorize it. So don't memorize it until after I memorize it. But if you're lucky, you will. There's two verses here. There's two verses. Saru Sangha Nama Kirtan Bhagavat Shravan Mathura Vas Sri Murtira Sradhaya Sevana Shokolo Sadhana Shrishta E Panchanga Krishna Prema Janmaya E Panchera Alpasanga. One shall associate with devotees, chant the holy name of the Lord, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, reside in Mathura, and worship the deity with faith and veneration. These five limbs of devotional service are the best of all. Even slight performance of these five awakens love for Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 22, text 128 and 129. That means teachings to Sanatana Goswami. 128-129, Madhya 22. A Panchanga Krishna Prema Janmaya, that these Sakala Sadhana Shrestha, the best. Shrestha means the best. So Shakal means all. Sadhana Shrestha, of all the different parts of Sadhana, the best is A Pancha, these Panchanga. These five are the best. Krishna Prema Janmaya. Janmaya means what? Giving birth. So the Krishna Prema, these five will awaken Krishna Prema. A Pancheta. Alpasanga. Just a little, slight association. Alpasanga. Just a little association with these five will awaken Krishna Prema. Nice, yeah? Saru Sangha Nama Kirtan Bhagavat Shravan. So Saru Sangha means Nama Kirtan means chanting the holy names. Bhagavat Shravan means Srimad Bhagavatam. Mathura Vas. And we always say Mathura Vrindavan Vas. And we could also put it Navadvip. Sri Murtira Shraddhaya Sevana. Worshipping the Murti with great faith. These five are so powerful. Faith and veneration, Prabhupada translates it. I won't ask you this verse on the test, but it will be nice if I memorize it and then you all memorize it. You know it yet?
First five.
Huh?
First five is five. These two verses, I know first one.
You know the first one. Krishna Bhakti Janma Mula?
No. Haya Sadhu Sangha Krishna Prema
Janma
Janma
Janma. What? It's the right verse, but I asked the wrong question, I think. And then there's also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the way. He Sadhana Bhakti Sadhana Shrestha. Bhakti Sadhana Shrestha. Bhakti Sadhana Shrestha. Prabhu Upadesha Koila Nama Sankirtan. I can't remember the second line. That Sava Bhoma Bhattacharya asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of all the sadhanas, which is the one Shrestha? And Prabhu Upadesha Koila, he instructed him, Nama Sankirtan. So there are five, and there's one, and there's 64, and there are nine, and there are three. Nice verses, yes? So now we'll go over these, and I don't think we'll they are self-illuminating, so we cannot do very much to glorify them. They are already so glorious. Rupa Goswami has stated that five kinds of devotional activities, residing in Mathura, worshipping the deity of the Lord, reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, serving a devotee, and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, are so potent that a small attachment, alpasanga, a small association or attachment for any one of these five items can arouse devotional ecstasy. What is devotional ecstasy? What is that Prabhupada's translation of? Bhava bhakti. Bhava. Love, devotional ecstasy. Even in a neophyte. So someone could say, well, how can a neophyte get bhava? Because if he gets bhava, he's no longer a neophyte. Yes. So it will turn a neophyte into an advanced devotee. What are the five? Name one. And Vrindavan too. Huh? And serving or associating with devotees means serving the devotees. Not, hey, how's it going? No, that's not association with devotees. And when you study Nectar of Instruction, as Rupa Goswami has given a nice verse on how to exchange love with devotees. What is that verse? Who knows? Guyam akyati pichate bhukte bhojayate chayva sadvidam priti lakshanam. Regarding, so Prabhupada's going to start with the first one, or Rupa Goswami starts with worshipping the deity. And it also is to be noted that if one is an offender or commits aparadhas, then this result of bhava bhakti will not come. So we have to be so careful of avoiding aparadhas. Rupa Goswami has written the following verse. Now this verse, I will tell you an interesting story about it. Rupa Goswami, my dear friends, if you still have any desire to enjoy the company of your friends within this material world, then don't look upon the form of Krishna, who is standing on the bank of Keshigat. He is known as Govinda, and his eyes are very enchanting. He's playing upon his flute, and on his head there is a peacock feather, and his whole body is illuminated by the moonlight in the sky. So, when Prabhupada, once in San Francisco, probably in 1967, one of the devotees brought a poster to Prabhupada, a Brijbasi print, and is the one that I have, the big, if any of you have seen on my desk, there is one big poster on my desk. You know that one? It's called Murli Manohar. You can come and have darshan later. Krishna is standing, it's very greenish. Not this one. But you know that one? Flute. Peacock is there, moonlight is there. So when Prabhupada, someone brought it to him, Upendra, in 1967 in San Francisco, he brought it to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada immediately quoted this verse in Sanskrit, because he is so beautiful. And if you wish to maintain your material attachments to your friends and your family, and material society, and material love, don't go and see Govinda. This is Rupa Goswami's verse. Don't go and see Govinda if you want to maintain your material attachments, because he will smash them. You'll become so attracted to Krishna playing his flute, who is so sweet in Keshigat, playing in Keshigat, Keshi Tirtha, which is in just by the area of Vangsivat. That he will steal your heart, and you won't have any heart left to give to your family. So So you should not go to sea. You should immediately go back to Bengal. Don't go to see your family. I mean, don't go to see Govinda. Otherwise, he will steal your heart. It will be finished. Because Krishna is so sweet. And his flute music, the sound from his flute is so sweet that those entities that are movable, like the cows, the birds, and all the creatures, they become stunned and unmoving. And all those entities that are moving, like the rivers and rocks, they melt in ecstasy by the sound of Krishna's flute. So don't go and see Govinda. Now, of course, we can't say, well, Rupa Goswami said I shouldn't go to see Govinda, therefore I... Now, Rupa Goswami is teasing us. Not teasing us, but he's explaining one thing. He's telling us to go see Govinda and he will steal your heart, but using a particular type of technique, poetic technique, by putting it in the negative. So Prabhupada, he quoted this verse when he saw this picture of Murali Manohar, and he had Jamuna Devi write it, calligraphy, a nice calligraphy, and it was framed within the San Francisco temple, and he kept it there. How sweet. So Rupa Goswami is expressing his special affection for Govinda. And who is Govinda? That is his deity, the deity that he's established over there, on that side of Vrindavan, Govindaji Mandir. Now that Govinda is sitting in Jaipur, standing in Jaipur. So this is deity worship. This is called Bhava Seva. Deity worship with great, great love and affection. The purport of this verse is that if someone becomes attached to Sri Murti or the deity of Krishna by worship at home, then he will forget his relationships of so-called friendship, love, and society. Thus is the duty of every householder to install deities of the Lord at home and to begin the process of worshipping along with his family members. This will save everyone from unwanted activities as going to clubs, cinemas, and dancing parties, smoking, drinking, etc. All such nonsense will be forgotten if one stresses the worship of deities at home. And in addition, one will lose his great attraction to the form of wife, etc. Because Krishna is all attractive. And once he has your heart, and when you go to him to get it back, it becomes worse. And he will steal everything. Next. My dear foolish friend, I think you have already heard some of the auspicious Srimad Bhagavatam, which decries seeking the results of fruitive activities, economic development, and liberation. I think that now it is certain that gradually the verses of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, describing the pastimes of the Lord, will enter your ears and go into your heart. So, reading the 10th canto, which Prabhupada published first as Krishna book, is very important. But one should not read it in improper consciousness. And Prabhupada explains that. And nor should one dwell on it if one is not on the proper platform. Why? Because simply one's mind will become materially agitated. Rather than being in transcendental bliss, one will attain mundane lust. And one should not do that. So therefore, Prabhupada describes, in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that unless one has the ability to throw out, just like garbage, the fruit of results of ritualistic ceremonies, economic development, and becoming one with the Supreme for salvation, one cannot understand Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam deals exclusively with devotional service. One who studies Srimad Bhagavatam in the spirit of renunciation can understand the pastimes of the Lord which are described in the 10th canto. In other words, one should not try to understand the topics of the 10th canto, such as the Rasa Lila, unless he has spontaneous attraction for Srimad Bhagavatam. One must be situated in pure devotional service before he can relish Srimad Bhagavatam as it is. Otherwise, one's mind will undergo material transformations. And this is not good. and materialistic reciters of the Bhagavatam, especially you'll get this in Vrindavan, wish to attract materialistic hearers of the Bhagavatam, and therefore they go when they have a Bhagavat Saptaha, 7-day reading of the Bhagavatam, they only read this Raspanchadhyaya, this 5 chapters of the 10th canto, which deal directly with Krishna's very intimate Rasa Leela dealings with the gopis. So materialistic speakers, to get materialistic followers, will do this. But it is not in the line of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Prabhupada spoke very much against this type of Bhagavat Saptaha. But he did not mind 7 days of hearing the Bhagavatam, but specifically this specific type of Bhagavat Saptaha he was against. Yeah.
What does it mean, spontaneous attraction to Bhagavatam?
Huh?
What does it mean, spontaneous attraction to Bhagavatam?
Yes. It means that one has done what he has previously said, and one must be situated in pure devotional service before he can relish Srimad Bhagavatam.
In the Dallas temple, they have some very nice oil paintings.
Somehow I have copies of this in my room. What was that?
No, they have pictures of Krishna stealing the dress of the gopis. Beautifully done, but for the first time in the temple,
did you see them?
Yeah.
The first time you went in the temple?
Yeah.
The first time you didn't know anything about Krishna consciousness, and you?
No, but I didn't go to Dallas the first time.
Yeah.
But when I went in as a way.
Yeah. And you had a hard time explaining it?
No, but when somebody else came for the first time into the temple, on a Sunday program.
Yeah.
And they want to know what all these pictures meant, and then you get to where Krishna's stealing with all these naked gold.
And what did you explain?
What I've been told, you know, it's difficult to explain.
It's not difficult to explain. It's very straightforward. It's difficult to deeply enter into and not become materially disturbed, because that is a very intimate lila of Krishna's. So it's not difficult to explain. Otherwise, and Prabhupada did it, and he published the Krishna book, and he wanted that big mice upstairs. And he wanted that book widely distributed. So it's not that we have anything against these lilas of Krishna.
So the question that came up, was it correct?
His Holiness Kamal Krishna Maharaj. Prabhupada put a very similar picture in the Krishna book, and he wanted that book. You know how many copies of the Krishna books were distributed? Millions. You think that's improper? So, just pointing that these things, if one just dwells on these things prematurely, it won't do him good. That is my conclusion. It gives one the opportunity to preach about Krishna directly as a person. Did you ever ask His Holiness Kamal Krishna Maharaj this?
You're right.
You can ask him next time what his opinion is. Who preaches in Dallas? Anyone here has preached in Dallas? Oh, Chaitanya Chandra, we should have asked him when he was here. What he thinks, does it? Because they bring so many people through there. People, their first time. There's one lady who was here, this interfaith lady, this lady who was the one who spoke to you yesterday. She spoke, what was the nature of her talk, by the way?
What did she say?
Shade.
Huh?
Shall we shade our movement?
She said how important we are.
How important you all are.
That there is a trend in world. There's a change in world events that are bringing about sort of opening ideas.
But she's been in the Dallas temple many, many, many times, and she doesn't.
But she has Tamil Krishna Maharaj explaining to her.
Well, the devotees have to explain. That's our business, to preach.
But sometimes it's very difficult, especially in Russia. We have to be careful with all these topics.
Huh?
Because when we preach, we have to be careful with all these topics, even among devotees. Because it's really difficult for
the Westerners. Then why did Prabhupada? If it's so difficult for Westerners, why did Prabhupada publish a Krishna book in 1970? Yabat. I didn't realize you were a Yabat previously. Huh? Yes, well, that's enough. The devotees have to provide the purport and the explanation. Yeah.
India, most of the only historical temples are Bhagavad Gita.
Well, I can't even hear what he said before I can understand how different it is.
No, he's saying that our temples, outside the temples, they're depicting sculptures which are
naked,
not like connected.
Unclothed entities.
Yes. So he said that the people, it's a test for the people to enter the temples. So it's a different topic.
Different topic.
When you read a Krishna book, most people will start from chapter 1 and work to chapter. So therefore they're in a position to understand the pastimes. But when you're taking someone on a tour of the temple for their first time in 10 or 15 minutes, you can't say, well, excuse me, and then you sit down and you read the whole 20 chapters of Krishna books.
Probably they start on the left side of the temple room and work all the way around before they get to the right side where that picture is. First you have to understand who Krishna is. That's what next I'm going to tell Professor Bihari next in your speaking class. Everyone will practice explaining that.
Even if he's
no, actually, if you know the mentality of people, what are they going to do? So they'll look through and they'll see that picture and then they'll read immediately that part. That's the nature of people. But you should read how Prabhupada explains it. Well, see, that's what one should do. One should read how Prabhupada explains it. It's not naimittik lila, it is nitya lila. It is something that's very intimate and eternal. Another thing that I've read one time in one BTG, Back to Godhead, there was, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu wrote an article about Lord Chaitanya and Rath Yatra. Who's read that article? Now that is a very difficult thing to explain. In the same way that this is a very difficult thing to explain. What is the meaning of Rath Yatra? Taking Krishna back to Vrindavan. Very, very, very intimate, because you have to explain about the love between Radha and Krishna. So anything to do with Radha and Krishna, or anything to do with personal dealings of God, is difficult to explain. But especially Radha and Krishna, Radha the Gopis. But if someone understands that Krishna's dealings have nothing to do with the experiences of someone who is a conditioned soul, then they can grasp the concept. They grasp the concept. In the first canto of the Bhagavatam, in chapter 11, Krishna enters Dwarka. And what does he do? Who knows that chapter? Krishna enters Dwarka Soma, he blows his conch shell, everyone comes out, then the grandfathers and everyone comes out, then Krishna enters, then he sees his mothers. He has, how many mothers did Krishna have who greeted him in Dwarka? How many co-wives did Devaki have? Huh? 17 co-wives. There were 18 in total. Vasudeva had 18 wives. So 16,100. Krishna had 16,108 wives. That's another hard one to explain. But we don't shy from this. Not that we specifically go to that. Well, anyway, then Krishna, right in the first canto in chapter 11, Krishna goes into the rooms of his queens. He separates into 16,108 Krishnas, which is also hard to explain. And he enters into each one of his 16,108 palaces, and his wives see him, and they look shyly. They look at him, they glance from the corner of their eyes, they put their heads down, they send their sons forward. Sons? God has sons? I thought he only had one son, right? If you're talking about explaining to people in Dallas, Texas. So how many sons did he have? Billions of sons? So all nothing for a materialist. Nothing in Krishna Leela is easy to understand. Nothing, actually. Krishna's friends, how about Krishna killing Kalambasura? Sridham riding on Krishna's back? What?
Yeah. Because we have an attraction for Krishna to be in
this world. This is why Krishna's... See, there's stunam stunam bhagavate, that Sukadeva Goswami has placed these Krishna Leela, and specifically Krishna's dealings in Vrindavan, throughout the entire Bhagavatam, basically. He didn't just wait for the 10th canto. Stanam stanam bhagavate. Because, first of all, there are internal reasons, external reasons. But externally we should become attracted to Krishna. Not that we should become attracted to Maya and use our Mayic attraction to become agitated by the intimate spiritual pastimes between Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan. But we should become attracted. So much of the first canto of the Bhagavatam is specifically meant for that. To see he is the friend we are looking for. To see he is the perfect lover.
It seems that the prophet's preaching was inconsistent in that regard, that he introduced Krishna books early, but almost every lecture that he gave after that, you're not this body, you're not this body, you're not this body. The basics of the philosophy.
So in the Krishna book we also get that. Yet we don't avoid these things. We don't, as Prabhupada said, we don't boycott the gopis. It's not meant so much generally. A general principle is when you go give a lecture, you know, you're going for the first time, you don't talk about Krishna and the gopis. Yeah.
And then the same point was raised by Satyanarayan Guru.
Yeah.
He said, generally people in India, they easily accept Rama as God. Because it's difficult for them to accept this Krishna Leela. Because all these things which are going on for this Leela is really unacceptable. But to speak about Westerners,
but sometimes Westerners have an easier time than the Indians. Because their slate is clean. They don't know anything. So if you tell them, this has nothing to do with what you experience in this world, they just accept that. And they accept, oh, it's a different category. But Indians will tend to say, yes, 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 I already know. But they don't know. But Westerners don't say, I already know. They don't know either. But they don't say that.
As far as I know, my experience and experience of which I spoke with Sankirtan Guru is the most difficult thing to explain to people on the West about this. Because it's so picture of Krishna.
That was
best with gopis.
But why? Okay. But look at the cover of the Krishna book. Does anyone have a Krishna book? With them? Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, the general principles we read from the Bhagavatam from the beginning. And this also, this instruction is for the devotees.
May I offer a realization that this is important to Prabhupada's books, because we can speculate when is somebody ready to hear about this or how to present it in a matter that they'll understand. But if we can just present the basis of the philosophy and then say, read this book and it'll tell you that. And then we don't have to worry about being incorrect in our presentation. That's why.
But why not? But also, one should study Prabhupada's books and learn how Prabhupada presented things and learn how to present them in the same way. Because people often, they want to hear from people. Okay, the book is there, but what's your realization? The whole concept of Radha and Krishna. We can't avoid it. We don't want to avoid it. We have deities. Here's the cover. Intimate? How many of these were, let's see what, this is an old version. Now how many of these were, this is a trilogy. Printed 1970, 30,000 copies. 1971, 10,000 copies. 1972, 20,000 copies. 1972, 150,000 copies. 1972, 150,000 copies. 1972, 300,000 copies. 1973, 10,000 copies. 1973, 900,000 copies. 1974, 300,000 copies. 1976, 300,000 copies. 1982, 300,000 copies. Prabhupada begins. It is a wonder. No, not forward. There. This is the interesting thing. In these Western countries, when someone sees the cover of a book like Krishna, he immediately asks, who is Krishna? Who is the girl with Krishna? The immediate answer is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How is that? Because he conforms in exact detail to descriptions of the Supreme Being, the Godhead. In other words, Krishna is the Godhead because he is all attractive. And on. So the question was not avoided by Prabhupada. Millions of these books were printed with this picture on the cover. He didn't put that picture on the cover with Krishna with the gopis. But still, same point. Radharani's hand is around Krishna. Krishna's arm is around, holding Radharani's sari, the veil from her sari. But this, see, the verse that Prabhupada quotes right in the beginning of this, right from the second chapter of the first canto, Nivritta Tarsha Upagiyamanam Yat Utamasloke Nivritta Tarsha Upagiyamanam Vavoshadi Shotamano Baramat. That Nivritta Tarsha means all the lust within the heart. Upagiyamanam, just by hearing this Bhagavatam, this is Bhavoshadi, it is the medicine, the Oshad. The medicine that will cure the living entity from all the lust within his heart. And it is also pleasing to the ear and to the heart and the mind. Shutamano Bharamat. Everything about Krishna consciousness is actually challenges the materialist. So we preach loudly, not that we specifically, you know, talk about the gopis specifically like that. But we don't avoid. We're not shy or embarrassed. We say, yes, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You're not God. This is your problem. You want to become God. Here exactly is your problem. You want to become God, but you cannot become God. You become servant of God. This is exactly the problem. But this Bhagavatam is the medicine, the Oshad, to cure us. Prabhupada also challenged in so many other ways. How about the moon? Going to the moon. Now, no one talks about that now, but in 75 or so, 74, 2, something. So when the United States astronauts went to the moon, Prabhupada just told the devotees, they didn't. Cheating, bogus. Fifth canto of the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada didn't hide it. This is what we stand for. This is what we stand for. Gopi Varta Parakamalayor Dasa Dasana Das. Not that this is our only preaching though. We start with Dehenos Minyata Dehe. But when it comes up, we don't avoid an embarrassment because it's hard to explain. Difficulty is our heart doesn't know how to deal with it. So we should learn how Prabhupada deals with it. He is the Supreme Prince. Who is the girl with Krishna? He could have put anything, any picture in the whole world on the cover. It's Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, and not Radha and Krishna. He could have put anything he wanted. But he chose to put Radha and Krishna and explain it in this way. He liked this picture. So we should understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and we should serve Him. We shouldn't imitate Him. We should become His unalloyed servant of His servant of His servant of His servant, and we should not imitate Krishna. We should stop trying to be the enjoyer. This is our problem. So the problem is that we have a hard time understanding it, I think. So therefore we have, of course, we have a hard time explaining it. So we should make the effort to understand it deeply. Okay, we've managed to not go past the first page. These five are so potent that you cannot easily go beyond even one of them. It's a very difficult topic, Yuri. One other topic, every time someone asks a question, I say, wait, it's coming up. You know, are these things exaggerations? Is it true? Why doesn't it happen to me? So finally, it's come up, and we will read it. Page 111, the second complete paragraph. In these statements about devotional service, sometimes it may appear that the results have been overestimated. This is so many times this question has been asked. But actually, there is no overestimation. Some devotees, as revealed scriptures give evidence, have had immediate results by such association, although this is not possible for all. For example, the Kumaras immediately became devotees simply by smelling the incense in the temple. Actually, they smelled the fragrance of the tulsi leaves, of the lotus feet coming from the garland carried by the breeze. Bilamangala Thakur simply heard about Krishna and then immediately gave up his beautiful girlfriend and started out for Mathura in Vrindavan, where he became a perfect Vaishnava. So these statements are not overestimations, nor are they stories. They are actual facts, but they are true for certain devotees and do not necessarily apply to all. These descriptions, even if considered overestimations, must be taken as they are in order to divert our attention from the fleeting material beauty to the eternal beauty of Krishna consciousness. And for persons who is already in contact with Krishna consciousness, the described results are not unusual. So two things. One is these things, the full potency as these statements have described of the different processes of sadhana bhakti have occurred. They have been exhibited by sometimes to some devotees, to sometimes to people who aren't even devotees, and they can very easily occur to devotees. They are not just exaggerations with no basis in the truth. But even if they will not happen to everyone, it is important, essential for all the devotees to hear them with faith, understanding that this can occur. Why? Is because we need different things to attract us to Krishna consciousness, away from the fleeting but very attractive pleasures of the material world. We need to hear these things. Oh, let me smell the incense. Let me put the garland on me of the Lord. Let me enter into the temple. Let me circumambulate the temple. Let me live in Vrindavan. Let me chant the holy name. Such wonderful effects can occur. Let me do these things. Otherwise, if we don't have these type of excitements, what will attract us from the material world if we're not already attracted to the fragrance of the lotus feet of Krishna?
Yeah, I can relate to this actually, because the first book I read is Krishna book. So when I read it, there's a classroom between Radha and Krishna. So I started reading because I'm a young person. Everybody, most of the person are attracted by the opposite sex. So I said, why not do this? It's interesting. So in this way, I came to know that he's not only relevant.
And also, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in his commentary on the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, on the Janmadyasyataha verse, and Prabhupada includes his comments in the purport, that unless you understand that this rasa, or the tendency for a young boy to be attracted to a young girl, unless you understand where that comes from it's from Krishna, it's a reflection of the adiras, the original relationship with Krishna, you cannot get free from it. So of course it's not the topic for, you know, the first person comes to the temple for the first day. But this is a fact. Not that we specifically dwell on it either. But this is a fact. And you can't avoid it. You can't avoid these feelings unless you are attached to the lotus feet of the service of Radha and Krishna. Unless you deeply understand you're a servant of Krishna's enjoyment, you cannot become free from mundane sexual attraction. This is where it really exists. If you just try to block yourself out to it, it will always follow you and it will always attack you. So we have, that's how we deal with it at this point in our Krishna consciousness. But it's always attacking us. So we have to actually know that it belongs to Radha and Krishna in its pure form. And we should pray when we become attacked by these type of desires, we should pray for the shelter of Radha and Krishna and pray for them and their devotees. We should call out loudly, you know how Raghunath Das Goswami says that. He compares lust to a highwayman. A highwayman steals our valuables. So lust steals the most valuable thing that we have, our Krishna consciousness. It will come right in and steal it. So just like one should call out for help, as soon as one starts screaming for help, that's what when you become attacked, the first thing that people do, they'll cover your mouth so you can't scream. And the first thing you do when you want to do is scream as loud as you can for help, police, police, police. Of course in India you can't get help from the police, they'll come and also take your money and then they'll capture the criminals and take their money and then take your money and they'll take everyone's money. But but we should call out for help in the names of Krishna and the great devotees. We should cry out as loudly as we can whenever we become attacked by the highwaymen of lust. And always, by the calling out, these highwaymen become frightened and go away. Because Maya Paite Abhimukhe Balajamanam. That means that Maya is like the shadow. And the shadow always stays behind. So Maya is ashamed, Balajamanam. She cannot stay in the presence of Krishna or Krishna's devotees. Krishna Surya Sam Maya Haya Andhakar. We have to develop this attraction to Krishna, actually. Eventually, we have to become attracted to Krishna. All the older devotees all know this. How long can you go on just trying to block out Maya as if Maya doesn't exist, with the strength of your determination, just pushing, 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 pushing. It's difficult. And then Krishna consciousness becomes very austere. when you see blissful devotees, why are they blissful? Because they have an attraction for these five things or some other anga of Krishna consciousness, but it's an attraction. They like it. They have that taste. Preaching, book distribution, anything that puts them in contact with Krishna that they get that taste from, they like. Okay, we'll stop. Last question.
Is it proper that usually people are just talking on following places in Russia? They usually are words.
What?
Is it proper or is it fanatic that usually this they avoid particular this topic?
The Radha and Krishna's dealings?
Yes. They say first you understand if you use the body, change your rounds, the sadhana, you distribute thousand books and so on and so forth. And when as for me, when I arrived in Vrindavan, I was astonished how much he is frivolous and devotees discussing it.
What can you do in Vrindavan? Taste. How can you avoid in Vrindavan? You go to Govardhan, you go everywhere, Radha Govinda. These devotees especially did well in their homework last week. Gaura Nataraj Prabhu, Krishna Bringa Prabhu, Vinod Bihari Prabhu, Narottama Prabhu, Krishnadas Kaviraj Prabhu, Madana Mohan Prabhu, Narayan Dwara Prabhu, Amit Srinivas, Vikash, Yuktesh, James, and Amit. Two Amits. We should omit one Amit. Hari Baba, two times you have put his name. Hari, see? I usually, when I preach, I just follow the purports in the book. If they talk about it, if Prabhupada has talked about it, I talk about it. Prabhupada doesn't talk about it. Okay, Hare Krishna.